Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
One.
Yeah, I'm good.
Chef. Yeah.
My whistle's not that great, eh? But you should hear me on the drive show because that's where it's coming through. You might be wondering, hold on, Googs, why are we playing a Pro Kids song? Well, the truth is, what I love about that song is that exhaust in the background. Well, if you don't know anything about me, know this. I grew up with two older brothers. And much like many other guys, they love cars. They still love cars. In fact, this particular conversation is inspired by a conversation I had with my oldest brother. And it's essentially around the themes and trends that we're seeing when it comes to what's described as classic cars. And no longer is it just vehicles that might have come from the 1950s or 60s, but the generation of men and some women who find themselves now in their adult years. So think about individuals who are millennials, who grew up in the 1980s and the 1990s. And back then, when vehicles like Ikusheshe were vehicles that everyone wanted to drive, perhaps a VR6, Evora, these are just some of the vehicles, even a Toyota Cressida, that back then are nostalgic for this particular generation. And what we're finding is that as many more of these millennials enter adulthood, as a Amagrootman, young timers, as what they're being referred to, these are individuals who now openly, happily, and financially with the muscle, are very proud to invest in what is described as classic cars. And I say this because I'm a curious person. And sometimes I sit with my brother and we Google old classic cars for fun. And he's got a passion for it and enjoys working with vehicles. And in particular, we Googled a Box BM, Ikusheshe, 325i, 1989 model. And I thought to myself, this car can't be more than 100,000 rand. Boy, oh boy, did my jaw drop. Did my eyes pop out when I saw that this particular vehicle, classic state, clean, pristine, original features, was worth more than 2 million rand. And then I Googled a few other vehicles of this particular nature, including a Toyota Cressida, which holds a very special place in my heart because my grandfather used to drive it. A 1987 model was worth just shy of 300,000 rand. So there's somewhere I'm going with this conversation, and I want you to join me in it. 063-688-0959 is where you can share your voice notes to as an experience that you've had, perhaps classic cars or old vehicles that we grew up admiring that have now really become items that are worthwhile to invest in. Tonight, we're speaking to Sesh Govender, underwriting specialist for i2 Classic Cars. i2 is an insurance provider. They specifically play within very interesting spaces. Think about arts, think about events. They cover the necessary risk for items, events, and I guess key assets that are important to us and are key stores of value that typically wouldn't be underwritten by any other insurance provider. But Sesh Govender joins us now. Sesh, welcome to the show and thank you so much for your time. Sesh, you're live on Kaya Biz. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, Gugu. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to speak to you, Sesh, because this is a conversation that hits a bit close to home for me. I think you can tell by my passion that it really is igniting some nostalgia for me and an interesting area that I think so many of us don't consider to be a practical business story, a practical investment insight, and one that actually speaks to the reality of how we do business in the country. But let's talk about the market when it comes to classic vehicles and how, I guess, young timers, no longer is it the cool uncles, our dads, our granddads who are collecting cars, but it's our big brothers, our cousins and our friends. Talk to us about this dynamic and the shifts that we're seeing in the classic vehicle market.
Most definitely, Gugu. And yes, 100%. It's no longer our parents and our uncles that we are seeing collecting. The young timer category is specifically around people born in the late 1980s, 1990s, early 2000s. It's vehicles that they collect, that they saw their parents drive as they grew up. It's much like dreaming of a career or a luxury watch or a rare collectible. Mm. Owning a classic car taps into nostalgia and personal milestones. It's kind of an investment that's deeply rooted in emotion.
100%. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that because there really is an emotive tug and pull to it, right? And as you say, this is very similar to what we see when it comes to arts, luxury items. But are we seeing that there's a growing market when it comes to specific vehicles in South Africa? And I largely say those that come in back in the 1980s or early 90s, where that happens to be growing?
So traditionally, you know, a classic car was seen as vehicles that are over 40 years old. But as time has passed and the newer generations of enthusiasts that have, they have now redefined what classic means. And like you said, cars from the 1980s, even the early 2000s are now being celebrated because they represent technology, design, culture. In the same way that cars that are now 40 years old once did.
100%. I am so intrigued as to what you are seeing in the space that you're in, especially when it comes to underwriting and insurance for these vehicles that I spoke about the numbers and the figures I saw a while ago. And I was like, what? 2 million rand? You should have heard me. I was like, there's no way. But the truth is, they hold a lot of value. And that also, I guess, depends on how the owners of the vehicles have actually kept them in terms of their quality. But what is that often meant from a valuation perspective and how that speaks to underwriting and insurance for classic cars?
Yes. So look, at i2, we do specialized insurance for various things. And one of our very specialized products is classic cars. What we found was that there's a gap in the market for someone to actually appreciate these vehicles for what they are. Because yes, it is a vehicle, but it is also an appreciating asset. Like you mentioned, what the values are. If you take an Opel Superbus, for example, yes, was manufactured in 1991. There were only 500 road going made at the time. And they are, you're looking at values now, 700,000 up for one that is in mint condition, as in restored to factory original. To underwrite something like that, you got to appreciate that it is needs to be done on an agreed value basis and that the value increases every year as the history and the nostalgia grows for these particular vehicles. So the underwriting is very tailored, it's very specific, and it's all about reassuring the client that we understand and we appreciate your passion with you.
Got you. Let's talk about this, right? Because the market you're speaking to is the young timers. I call them amahrotman, like big brothers, the guys between 30 and 40, maybe even their mid-40s. And I can imagine that when you have these conversations regarding the valuation of these vehicles, there's a lot that goes into it because some parts might or might not be available. There's the risk that might be associated with these kind of vehicles, even in particular areas. Are those some of the themes that actually go into underwriting? I guess what I'm looking for is, what are the nuances you look for as an insurance provider that we as customers also need to be aware of?
I think originality is the big thing. So, you know, you have a vehicle that you can repair and that's just fixing it up, but then you also have a vehicle that you've restored. And that is the space that we're looking at, is how close to factory have you restored this? And I understand that there are some parts that may not be available, but the key and the mindset is to get the vehicle as close to as when it rolled off the factory floor. And this is specifically why the i2 classic car policy is insured on an agreed value basis. And there's also the emotional tax part of it. As an owner of a classic car, you spend most weekends polishing and shining this car, and you know, to a point where you can actually eat off it. It's that clean. And then you've got a lot of emotional tax because in your mind it's worth twice the amount because you've put your blood, sweat and tears into it. And that's a reason why we do it on an agreed value basis where we get a valuation. So it's like, yes, you as a client are saying it's worth 2 million rand, your insurance company is saying it's only worth 1 million, and we need to meet in the middle, which is why we get an expert valuer to actually say, yes, okay, the vehicle today, this is what it's worth for this value. Your policy will be issued for that amount.
Got you. As we're having this conversation, I must tell you, one of my male colleagues just sent me a picture of an Opel Kadett saying this one is fire. In the meantime, I've got another, my dad and my loved ones are telling me about Kusheshe Box BM 325IS. So,
oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that.
And that's why.
So do you know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, carry on. No, so what I was actually going to say, the next thing is, you know, it is 50 years for the 3 Series this year. Wow. And the Kusheshe, specifically the box shape BMW, it's for us South Africans, it's culture, it's energy, it's iconic, it's our history and our legacy.
It definitely is, right? And it's unique to a particular generation as well, because I'm seeing that in terms of the level of interest. I'm also still keen, I guess, you know, to talk about the money angle. And I'm glad you touched on the emotions, the cleaning of the vehicles, because those vehicles are really, really pristine. But do we also find that price and demand are a driver for interest in these? Tying that to then the risk analysis, depreciation, does that ever count as anything? Or does it play a role in terms of underwriting?
No, so not specifically in our space. So on your normal motor vehicle insurance, yes, depreciation is a real thing. A very key feature which we've put into our policy, and it does say depreciation, but it actually flips the script, where on your normal domestic policy, every year your vehicle goes down in value. Yes. Whereas with our policy, if, let's say you have to have a bumper bash and your vehicle is slightly damaged, it now needs to be restored, not repaired. After restoration, if it says that it's now lost 25,000 Rand in value because of the little bumper bash,
yes,
the I2 policy will pay the client the 25,000 Rand loss in asset to put him back in the same financial position.
Got you. What's also interesting that you offer from a company point of view is for collectors younger than the age of 30 years. And I think this is really intriguing, because when we deal with other insurance providers, we're well aware that the younger you are, the heightened level of risk is presumed on the vehicle you own. But when it comes to classic cars in particular, this is an interesting nuance, which I think also tells us that not only is your customer base getting younger, but you're also having to meet them at their place of need, right? And risk with a lot more insight. Share some details with us there.
Okay, so basically our policy is 7.5 years old. And like you said, the younger the client, the higher the risk profile is. So when we initially launched the product, if you were younger than 30, it was like, oh, I'm not sure that this client fits in our profile.
Yeah.
But as the market evolves, the policy has to evolve with it. So we've had to cater to that demographic, because that is where the collector market is going, and it's where it's going to sit going forward.
Got you. To close off with, Sesh, you know, we never know who's listening. There might be a few young timers. I don't know what we call the ladies, though. Aunties might sound a bit too serious. But, you know, there might be someone who's listening who actually has an interest in a classic car, or who has one sitting and, you know, they've just been utilizing their cash not only to take care of this vehicle, but also cover up any potential risk. What do we need to be mindful of when it comes to understanding that there are insurance providers like yourselves in the market that can offer that necessary support should the worst case scenario happen?
Yeah, and that's a good point. Like, it's sitting in your garage and you don't want to insure it because it's not something that you drive. But the reality of it is, besides your on-the-road risk, you're at a serious risk for fire as well as theft. That's also on the rise. And I think for the listeners out there that are current collectors or future collectors, the thing that they need to understand in an insurance policy, especially in a specialized insurance policy, is you need to look for someone that understands your passion. This is not just a hobby. It's a passion. So you need to look for someone that understands that it's not a hobby. It's a passion. And we need to look after the passion.
I see it. I see it. I see it on your website too. And I think there are many, many of our listeners who will also agree. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Sesh. Such a pleasure speaking to you. And man, if we have an opportunity ever to just tour or see one of those vehicles one day, feel free to bring them by Jan Smuts Avenue.
Oh, you down the road from us, we are involved in the classic markets, in lots of events. You're welcome at any time. And thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to share some of our insights with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Watch me bring my brother and all my male colleagues with me as well.
You are more than welcome.
Thanks so much. That's Sesh Govender, underwriting specialist for I2 Classic Cars. And you might be wondering, hold on, what's the business angle to this conversation? Trust me, where there's money, where there's passion and heart, there is a business story. And as mentioned, this is the rise of what's being described as the young timers. Amakhrotman, the gents between the ages of 30 and 45, maybe even 50, who, when they look at a box BM, Ikusheshe, 325IS, Opel Kadett, Toyota Cressida, you know, they look at it with a great level of nostalgia. because at one point growing up, these were vehicles that actually set you apart in your community and society. Even a Golf, Vora, VR6 or GTI, these are all specialist vehicles that some people take very, very good care of, to such an extent that they keep them in pristine condition, and such they become collector's items. If you don't believe me, make sure you Google, just Google 325IS 1989. Auto Trader will pop up with a vehicle worth 2 million rand. Yeah. Tell Glenn I sent you. It's not Glenn, the CEO. Tell them I, Mr. Mini, George Mini, tell him I sent you to the website. But beyond that, we also have a few of your voice notes just sharing on some of your experiences. So let's hear regarding your thoughts on classic cars and the market to invest in them in South Africa. Two voice notes. Mlungisi, Rebs, what say you?
Interesting topic. I'm also an enthusiastic of classic cars. I'm not the Beamer fan when it comes to classics, but with the latest ones, yes, I'm the Beamer one. But with the classics, I'm more of a, you know, I love my SE500, 560 SEC, 560 SEL, you know, those kind of vibes. Those are my favorite. You know, I've had an opportunity to own one, and I would still do it again. You know, I think when I bought it from an old man for like 50k, and by the time someone convinced me to buy it, I sold it for 250k.
Oh,
so yeah, it's something to look at.
How is Kuku Kulumanga Titina Lava Bumlu? Uti ni Cressida. It's under Senfe, Ni Stupa. I Kushesh, my daughter. Tembala Mahomu, sister. I four, I very six. Oh, how is Kuku? Senza, the sister. I find the insurance, sister. I find. I sell a very sister, Jovicho. But he Kentucky, Toyota Corolla, Kentucky round. I, sister.
Ngiyintshelile ukuthi ngizonikhulumela Margaret Man. Mlu. Yeah, this interview was for you guys. As we close off, share your voice note 063-688-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.